January the 13th is the day on which the Catholic Church marks World Day of Migrants and Refugees. Each year for that occasion, the Pope releases a message in which he reflects on the predicament of those who choose to migrate in pursuit of a better life or are forced to seek refuge away from home. Pope Benedict XVI's message, as always released before the actual day is observed, was dedicated this year to the theme Migrations, Pilgrimages of Faith and Hope. The Pope introduces his reflection on a personal note.
I was thinking of the millions of men and women who, for various reasons, have known the experience of migration. Migration is, in fact, a striking phenomenon because of the sheer numbers of people involved. The social, economic, political, cultural, and religious problems it raises, and the dramatic challenges it poses to nations and the international community. For every migrant is a human person, who as such possesses fundamental, inalienable rights that must be respected by everyone and in every circumstance.
For this reason, the Pope continues, he has chosen to focus the theme of the 2013 World Day of Migrants and Refugees on the fact that migrations are pilgrimages of faith and hope.
Faith and hope are inseparable in the hearts of many migrants who deeply desire a better life and not infrequently try to leave behind the hopelessness of an unpromising future. During their journey, many of them are sustained by the deep trust that God never abandons his children. This certainty makes the pain of their uprooting and separation more tolerable, and even gives them the hope of eventually returning to their country of origin. Faith and hope are often among the possessions which emigrants carry with them, knowing that with them we can face our present. The present, even if it is arduous, can be lived and accepted if it leads towards a goal, if we can be sure of this goal, and if this goal is great enough to justify the effort of the journey.
In the vast sector of migration, the Pope points out, the Church shows her maternal concern in a variety of ways. That's why I chose to speak to someone who is deeply involved in that concern and is dedicating her professional life and know-how to providing migrants with a landing, some much-needed legal support and information, and hopefully a springboard for their future. Her name is Katrine Camilleri. She is a lawyer and the recipient of an important prize for those who work in the field, the Nansen Refugee Award. I spoke to her in her role of Director of Jesuit Refugee Services, Malta, and asked her for her first impressions of the Pope's 2013 message to migrants and refugees.
One thing that struck me is the reference to the fact that many refugees and migrants suffer tremendously, often before they leave and also along the way, but that their journey is accompanied always by a great hope, a hope that they will be received, treated with respect, and given the chance to have a new life. The Pope talks about being able to build with hope and courage a new life in a new country, hoping that they will receive acceptance, solidarity and help. And what it makes me question is how many refugees, how many migrants landing on our shores, having been through often terrible experiences along the way, have their hope realized? How many find the hope, solidarity that they are seeking? In Malta, many migrants who arrive spend a long time in detention. Often, even after they're released, they find life in Malta very difficult. Living conditions are poor, but it's so much more than just that. It is so difficult for them to be accepted, for them to be treated as human beings with equal rights and equal dignity. Not everybody treats them with a lack of respect, but many people do. And real integration, which the Pope mentions too in his message, is so hard. And so I think, in a way, the Pope's message is an invitation to all of us to, in a sense, do everything that we can, everything that is in our power, to see that the hope of refugees and migrants is, to the extent possible, realized.
You speak of hope, you speak of the right to emigrate and the right to be integrated into society. Now, in your experience, does the church do a lot to help migrants and refugees do this, you know, immigrate and find acceptance wherever they land?
Well, I can speak mostly about Malta, where I work, and here the church plays a big part in receiving migrants and also in providing services. Before the government actually had any services, the diocesan church had basic services in place to assist people with, you know, basic social services, but also accommodation. Most of the accommodation was provided by the church. Even today, the church organizations remain very active. So, yes, to some extent, I would say the church is already doing a lot, but I think the Pope's message is an invitation to see where we can do more and where we can improve the quality of what we do, how we do it, that we don't simply provide charitable services, but that we promote a culture where people are respected and treated with dignity, and where migrants are not the passive recipients of our charity because we're good and so we help them, but because they have rights. They have a right to be treated with dignity and respect and to receive the protection that they need.
These past years have seen an increasing number of women and children who are becoming migrants and refugees. Does this change the way you are setting up structures, infrastructures for them?
Well, as an organization, we offer support to a number of women. In Malta specifically, the number of males who arrive is relatively larger. The population of women, they're a significant minority, but as a rule, they're a minority. But we find that they are in need of services and support, often very specialized services and support, because we meet women who have been through all kinds of hardship, both in their own country, but also along the way, the journey to Malta. For example, we meet many women who along the way have been sexually exploited and abused, they've been raped. They have suffered tremendously simply to get to a place of safety. Even here, their life is far from easy, especially, for example, if they have children. So we see that they are in need of increased services and support, and we do our best to meet those needs. Trafficking is also a reality. The route from North Africa to Europe is not only the sea route, it's not only a smuggling route, it's also a trafficking route. So we meet women who are being trafficked often, not necessarily to Malta, also to other countries, and have often been exploited along the way. So women with great needs, and yes, a great need for services, support, and in a way, an even greater need to be supported to live with the dignity that they deserve.
Katrine, who are most of the migrants who come through Malta? Do they come to Malta, or is Malta really a crossroads and a place of transit for many of these people?
Well, many of the migrants who come to Malta by boat are from sub-Saharan Africa. There are a small number of people from other nationalities, but the vast majority from sub-Saharan Africa. As I said earlier, mostly male, but a significant number of women and a smaller number of children. Many don't intend to come to Malta. We can't exclude that some do, but for the majority, they see Malta as a place of transit, a stepping stone to somewhere else, either within Europe or else outside of Europe. However, it is a reality that we are encountering ever more frequently that people are not given a choice whether to move on or not. If you are accepted in a resettlement program, perhaps you can move on. But if you're not, you may have to accept the reality that, well, no, you can't get to choose where you would like to go and you may have to stay here. And this is where the challenges of integration become even more problematic, because if people are thinking about staying here for a short while and moving on, it's one thing. But then if they're facing the reality of a life in Malta or in another country, which is where they don't particularly want to be and where integration is so difficult, and then life can become pretty hard, and I think it can be pretty disheartening.
You were speaking of this faith with which so many of these migrants set out on their journeys.
Yes.
Do you find they lose it during this disheartening and difficult journey?
Well, some people do. Yes, we do see people who, even psychologically, crumble at a certain point. Many people arrive here still full of hope. Not all. Some people have been through too much, perhaps. But many people who arrive here are full of hope. But then when they realize that although they've arrived in a place which they thought would offer safety, security, and well-being, and in fact, life is very hard, and then, yes, sometimes life does become too much for them and they do lose hope. But if I have to be honest, I think that generally speaking, hope remains a big part of the way that many migrants and refugees look at life. And even if they're living in a situation which is not what they hoped for, in a situation which is very difficult, that hope somehow still remains alive. Not only hope, I think, as in a hope simply for a better future, but also great faith.
You were also speaking of the attitude of the people who receive them, and you were saying that sometimes, not always, but many times, these people are not received with grace and with welcome. So what you're saying is the attitude must change?
Yes. I sincerely believe that we have a big responsibility. We play a large part in the realization of refugees' hope for a life of dignity. How we receive them as a country, so that, and here laws, structures, policies come into play, but also as individuals can make a massive difference. So I think, yes, attitudes do have to change. Not only attitudes, also discourse, also perceptions have to change. We cannot simply continue to see refugees and migrants as a burden. They have lots to give. And as a country, Malta, I think we can benefit if we are open to receiving the gifts that migrants can bring.
You've been listening to Katrine Camilleri, Director of Jesuit Refugee Services, Malta.